All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I am your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I'm joined by the Falcoholic and SB Nation's Gina Thomas. We're going to talk about this Falcons Week 17 win, playoff-clinching win over the Carolina Panthers.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys, you know who I am. I'm Aaron Freeman, founder of FalFans.com, one of the longest-running Falcon fan sites on the Internet. And I am joined by none other than Gina Thomas, the first lady of the Falcoholic, the first lady of SB Nation. I don't even know if that qualifies, but we'll go ahead and claim it, Gina. And she's here with me to talk about how the Falcons managed to not let us down and triumph at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's so weird, right? Like, what a fun way to end the season.
Yeah, how refreshing is it, Gina, to, like, I was, after the Falcons beat the Cowboys, which I was not expecting heading into that week, I was very confident, oh, the Falcons will take care of business, they'll finish this season strong. Then they had that letdown against the Saints, and then, you know, all the injuries and whatnot coming into this week, I was like, oh, no, they're going to do it again to us.
And well, and this is, you're probably going to think that this is weird coming from me, especially as much crap as I give you on Twitter for being negative, but, like, you know, at SB Nation, we do our picks every week, and I picked against the Falcons when they played the Saints at home. I thought all along that they would split it with the Saints, and I thought that they would lose in the Superdome, and they did. And I wasn't that surprised, but after that loss, I really didn't have a ton of confidence going into the game against the Panthers. The Panthers have been up and down all season. You never really know what to expect from them. Yes, like, Cam Newton is throwing to Brenton Burson and some dudes off the street or whatever, but, like, he did that in 2015 and went to a Super Bowl, so I don't really hold that against him. I mean, I still expect that Cam can make enough plays to win, and their defense has been a force. I mean, Julius Peppers is playing like he's not, you know, 55 years old.
Yeah.
Thomas Davis, same thing. Like, I don't know if they found a fountain of youth or what they're doing over there, but they, like, their defense, especially their pass rush, is formidable. Secondary is much improved. And so I just didn't have high hopes. And then the Falcons just came out and made a fool out of me. And I was fine with it. I was totally fine with it. So yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's definitely refreshing because it was just like, still those fresh memories of that 2014, the way they ended that 2014 season against the Panthers. And it was just like, I didn't expect them to, like, get blown out or anything like that. But it was one of those things where it's like, I don't know if they have enough to beat the Panthers, who are a team that for some reason seems to have our number, at least this season.
They do.
So,
well, they certainly did in the last matchup, which I thought the Falcons could pull off.
Yeah. I think that was part of it too, because that game really was the point in the year before the Dallas game that I was like, oh, this team is terrible. They're not going to make the playoffs. And sort of to see that reversal. So it's a bit of roller coaster of emotion these last, you know, 7-8 weeks or whatever with this Falcon team, but it's always that way, right?
Yeah, it is. It's kind of a hallmark of being a fan of this team.
Yeah. So, speaking of the roller coaster, you write for a website that has many people that are prominently critics of Steve Sarkisian and his play calling this year. I'm curious sort of where you fall in that spectrum, and at least what did you think watching Sunday's game in terms of the offensive performance, not just his play calling, but also some of the other performers on the offense, and where did they fall for you?
You know, I think it's really important to kind of put Sarkisian's performance this season in context. And I always hearken back to 2015 with Kyle Shanahan, who the fan base pretty much like unilaterally loves now. Everybody loves Shanahan because of how the offense functioned in 2016. Everybody has a selective memory about how many times they tweeted me in 2015 asking when he was going to be fired in the middle of the season. And you know, there's always an adjustment period for a new coordinator. And I think that it's going to be less of an adjustment period for an experienced coordinator like Shanahan. This is Sark's first season calling plays at this pro level. And so I think that you can just expect that the period of adjustment is going to be a little bit longer and more of a challenge on both sides. I think that's part of the reason for the offense taking a bigger step back than we expected. I think that I know that you and I both anticipated a step back, because the level they were playing at last season was not sustainable. There was always going to be some kind of regression to the mean for Ryan. But, you know, I think all in all, we've seen some improvement. We've seen the offense become a little bit more cohesive. And then we also see them get too cute sometimes. And I think that that's just inexperience on Sark's part. And I think sometimes it's a failure to execute on the player's part. You know, I don't think that the blame for the inconsistency can be placed in any one basket. Like, I think that you have to kind of be realistic about, okay, so some of it is a new play caller. Some of it is, you know, Sark still adapting to the offensive talent that he's working with and adapting to anticipating what a pro defense is giving him on the other side of the ball. Some of it is just player execution. For whatever reason, you know, guys are dropping balls and just, you know, Matt Ryan's throwing a lot of balls high and that sort of thing. And so there's been sort of a change there. And they've had some injuries, I think, that have really impacted it, especially along the offensive line, you know, with Levitre being out a little bit with this tricep and that, and with Schrader being out earlier in the season with the concussion, I think that that also impacted things. So I think that it's just kind of a broader issue. I think that Sark will be here next year. I think that people are being way too premature. I think that the team will give him another chance to, you know, because like I said, look back at the difference for Shanahan between 2015 when everybody wanted his head on a platter and then 2016 when they were pretty much unstoppable. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm saying that we should see an improvement with another offseason for this offense to work with Sark. Yeah. That was a very rambling answer. I hope that I actually answered the question that you asked me.
No. I think you did. It's funny. You mentioned a lot of things, but it's funny, like, sort of how much people hated Shanahan in 2015 and afterwards. Then kind of after, like, people loved him in 2016, but then given how the Super Bowl went, people hated him again. And then when Sark struggled to start the season, people started loving Shanahan. So I guess if Sark has a good start to 2018, people will go back to starting to hate Shanahan.
And loving him again. Yeah, they will. I think that when you see some of the inconsistencies with the Falcons offense and you see what Shanahan is doing with Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco, I think that that is also kind of a hard pill for Falcons fans to swallow. And I get that. But I think that as a fan, you kind of have to have a short memory, because if you didn't, you couldn't keep being a fan, because sanity would kick in and be like, why do you do this to yourself?
Yeah.
So I get it. Like, I get why people aren't thinking about how they reacted about Shanahan in 2015. But I think that you really have to take this whole thing in the broader context.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I thought this performance against Carolina, even though it wasn't a great offensive performance, I do think relative to the fact how good the Panthers defense is, and given some of the injuries that the Falcons had along their offensive line, particularly at the interior with Alex Mack being nicked up, Levitre basically getting pulled on the first series. And, you know, you have guys like Kawan Short is a monster. And just the Falcons, contrary to what they've been most of the season, were pretty pass heavy in this Panther game. And I think a lot of that was because they just knew that they couldn't just run the football and establish the run and go up against that Panthers front.
Not at will, not against that front seven. I mean, there's no way. And so I think that it was very smart for them to adjust.
Yeah, and it reminds me of the 2011 playoff game against the Giants, because, like, I remember that game vividly, and sort of that was the point where I was just kind of like, that was Malarkey's last game. But it sort of contrasts, like, I've compared Sark to Malarkey a lot this season, but, like, this game, I think, sort of indicated that, at least in this regard, he's not similar to Malarkey. And that's because in that Giants game, like, the Falcons knew that they couldn't handle the Giants pass rush. So their thought process was, we'll just feed Michael Turner and we'll pound the ball down their throat and we'll be able to win the game that way. And the Giants basically shut down the run, and that game had very famous or infamous, you know, short yardage plays where the Falcons didn't get 1 yard.
Atrocious.
And so, like, and then you saw in that game where once the Falcons couldn't establish the run, there really wasn't anything that they could throw at the Giants that could generate any offense, and thus they only had two points in that game. And so, like, I think this game against the Panthers at least showed that, okay, Sark knew that, you know, challenging his guy, his injured offensive line to run against one of the best run defenses in the league just wasn't going to work. And so he decided to make adjustments to use the short passing game, a lot of short throws to Sanu, a lot of short throws to the running backs. That was something that he's been criticized quite a bit this year. And I think that was a good way of sort of supplementing the run game.
I think it was. I mean, I do think, and again, you know, the offense was inconsistent. We saw them, you know, look outstanding on a few drives and then look, you know, middling to fair on other drives, which is kind of the story of the season. And I know that that's probably more jarring after how unstoppable they looked last year. But the reality is, I do think that the game plan, it's exactly what you're saying. The game plan for the Panthers was exactly what it needed to be for the Panthers. And so I think that that is encouraging.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about the inconsistency of the offense. Thank God for Matt Bryant, the ageless wonder, right?
Yes. I mean, talk about the MVP. Like, he, I mean, he hit everything. He is the only player in that locker room who is about my age. And I just have so much respect for him because I don't even know how he still does it. he is a national treasure, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I remember earlier in the season, he missed a couple of kicks or had a couple of kicks blocked. And it seems like the last couple of years, anytime Matt Bryant, because it's so rare that he misses a kick, people are like, oh, is he about to hit the wall now? Is he done now? And it's
Remember with Elam? I mean, with Jason Elam, because Jason Elam was the same way. I mean, he was, you know, reliable, reliable, reliable. Then all of a sudden he hit a wall with his age. And then he was just done. And it is that way a lot of times for kickers. But with Bryant, when he was missing kicks, he was, I think, and I might be wrong, I'd have to go back and look, but I think that he was on the injury report. And so I don't think that he really misses kicks unless he's actually dinged up. And so I mean, I understand that, especially at my age, because one little injury throws you all the way off. I mean, I'm just saying. So. Okay.
All right, well, I'll take your word for it, Gina. it's funny to me because it's just like Matt Bryant will miss a kick and people are like, oh, no. And it's like, let's calm down, guys. Let's wait till he misses like four in a row before we start talking about him, you know, hitting that wall. You know, I think
he's earned that kind of restraint from fans. Absolutely. I really do.
Absolutely. All right, before we switch gears and talk about the defense, I do want to remind listeners that they want to check out Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson. Where he's covering the entire league. If you want to get prepped for all these playoff matchups in the AFC, in the NFC as well, you can find that on the Locked On Podcast Network, wherever podcasts can be found. Now, let's talk about the defense and sort of their really strong performance. And I think in addition to Matt Bryant's
please,
leg.
Yes, please, let's talk about this defense. I love this defense.
And, you know, last year was a big issue for me last year, talking about how, you know, it seemed like every week that we talked about how this defense was coming together. I think finally we can say that, you know, all that hype, you know, now that the defense is really in comparison, particularly to last year and just really down the stretch this season as well, we've seen the defense rise to new levels and come together. What were some of your thoughts on watching the defense on yesterday's game?
You know, I think that yesterday's game, more so than any other time this season, they really did what they needed them to do. They lived up to Quinn's expectations in terms of taking the ball away. Three picks against Cam. Cam had he had a passer rating of 31.9. It was his career worst. It was so bad. And I mean, they held him to under 200 passing yards. You know, they really stepped up. I think some of that is just those younger players developing. And last year, starting so many rookies, you're going to have some lapses. We've seen those guys really play a lot more cohesively this year, I think, especially like Keanu Neal and Deion Jones. And I think that it's that more than anything. This defense is right now top 10 in scoring defense and in total yards allowed. That hasn't happened since 1998. And, you know, this was kind of the expectation that went along with bringing in Dan Quinn, a defensive-minded head coach, and we're seeing it come to fruition. And they've played really quality teams this year. I mean, I think that they've played 10 teams with winning records, or had 10 games against teams with winning records. When you consider the NFC South, you know, with the Panthers and the Saints in there, that gives you four games right there against teams with winning records, playoff teams. But Yeah, I mean, it's been really impressive to see how they've developed. And the fact that they really do bend but don't break so often is very, it's so important. And it's won some games for them. And that last pick, that Alford pick, I know that fans trash Alford. They trash Trufant. They trash everybody. But, like, Alford, I think, is playing really well. And that play was huge because that game wasn't over. They still could have scored. They could have gotten the onside kick. And that's what was running through my head as a fan of Atlanta sports, is that that was exactly what was going to happen. And then, you know, Alford shut the game down with that pick. And so they've been really fun to watch this year. You know, seeing the pass rush develop the way it has, seeing how many guys get involved with that and are able to make an impact. I mean, they're a fun defense to watch, and they're all young, so that core is going to be intact for the next few years.
Yeah. Like, on the rapid reaction I did yesterday, like, I was talking about sort of how Cam started the game 0-for-9 throwing and didn't really complete his first pass until midway through the second quarter, and I thought, like, oh, he was missing throws, and I don't know what was going on. Maybe the defense wasn't necessarily responsible for that, but rewatching the game earlier today, it was literally the defense really stepping up early in that game, mm-hmm. with the defensive line creating some pressure and the defensive backs breaking up several throws in the early start that led to Cam not being able to complete a pass. And it was really more the second half when Cam's inaccuracy really started getting the better, and the Falcons were able to feast off of that. You saw it through the three interceptions. And that's like, you want this defense to be opportunistic. I remember talking with Dave midway through the season, and he was talking about how, you know, the last sort of hurdle for this defense to make was it to create turnovers. At that time, I didn't really agree with him because I still thought they needed to make improvements against the run and be a mm-hmm. little bit more consistent as pass rushers. And I think they've done all three. They've checked all three of those boxes, particularly as of late. So it is nice to sort of see not just the defense being praised for, you know, not giving up a ton of points relative to the offensive struggles, but also, you know, doing the things that making teams not be able to play the way that they wanted to play. Like, I thought that was one of the things early this season where, like, a lot of the teams, even though the Falcons defense wasn't playing poorly, they weren't stopping teams from doing the things that they wanted to do. And I think that's changed over the last month or so of the season.
I think that it has, and I think that one thing that stands out to me, and this is kind of fun to see from, you know, at least from my perspective as a national reporter, is that people around fans around the country are now aware of some of these Falcons defensive players. People know who Adrian Claiborne is after he put 6 sacks or whatever on Dak Prescott against the Cowboys. People know who Vic Beasley is after he led the league in sacks last year. People know who Deion Jones is after he picked off Drew Brees in the end zone on Thursday Night Football. And so it's, you know, when you're playing defense, when you're a young player playing defense on a team that has Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and Devontae Freeman on offense, you're not going to be the star probably. And it's really nice to kind of see that balance shift and those guys kind of enter into the national consciousness. And so that, I think, speaks to the fact that this defense has developed its own identity, and that they are, it's like you said, they are starting to be able to get opponents off their game. And yeah, I think that we definitely saw that against the Panthers, probably more so than any game this season.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. So guys, it is Black Monday, and a lot of coaches are getting fired. A lot of teams looking for coaches. And if you are trying to get the insights into maybe, say, your second favorite NFL team, a distant second to the Atlanta Falcons, you know, like, maybe you're a big time Raiders fan. You love the silver and black. So maybe you want to stay locked on Raiders and find out what's going on with their coaching hire. You know, the rumors about John Gruden, but maybe you're a Bears fan. Maybe you're a Lions fan, or whatever the case may be. You can find those shows and more on the Locked On Podcast Network, wherever podcasts can be found. Let's quickly turn our attention, before we wrap this thing up, let's turn our attention to the next game, because the Falcons are playing another game this season, at least one more. Looking at this Los Angeles Rams team, the league's number one scoring offense has been a very potent attack. Sean McVay has really sort of energized, you know, done a lot of the things that, you know, people credit Shanahan for doing for the Falcons last year. And it's a lot less of a murky waters in terms of how much credit McVay deserves, because Jared Goff was literally the worst quarterback in the league last season.
Yes.
And Todd Gurley, I think, averaged like 2.1 yards per carry or something ridiculous last year.
They used him horribly last year.
And, you know, so certainly Sean McVay is deserving of a lot of credit. Wade Phillips is an incomparable defensive coordinator, and certainly they already had a lot of talent on that defensive line with Robert Quinn and Aaron Donald and whatnot. And he's gotten a lot of the other players on that defense to step up this season. How confident, obviously with the Falcons coming off a win, you'd be a lot more confident than they would be if they were, you know, sort of backed into the playoffs. But sort of looking at this Rams team, is this one of those games where you're like, I think the Falcons can shock people with how well they can go on the road and play this really formidable Rams team? Or, you know, I don't know the alternative to that answer, but
you know, I'm seeing a lot of Falcons fans saying, oh, this is, you know, such an easy road to the NFC championship, you know, just beat the Rams and then you go in and you beat the Nick Foles led Eagles and it's a wrap. And I'm like, no, the Rams are legitimately good and they are a very, very complete team. Even down to special teams. I mean, they are a very complete team. Jared Goff has shown this season why he was worthy of the first overall pick. Todd Gurley is, he's always had this talent and now he's being used properly. Their offensive line is a force. And then the defense, Aaron Donald, one of the best players in the league, Robert Quinn, they're a problem. It's not going to be an easy game, but I have to say, and I know again, the Panthers have been inconsistent, but the way that the Falcons played against the Panthers does give me more confidence. I do think that maybe, and people aren't going to like this, but maybe losing to the Saints in week 16 was maybe the best thing that could have happened to the Falcons, because I think that it forced kind of a wake-up call. The only way to get that 28-3 taste out of their mouths is to get back to the Super Bowl and not screw it up this time. And I think that they know what's at stake. And so now it's just a matter of who wants it more, really. I mean, I think that they're pretty evenly matched with the Rams as far as talent, and they can win this game. It's a matter of actually winning the game. And I think that it's just going to come down to mental preparation and just a will to get it done. And I do think that that's something that this team has.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're definitely capable. And I think this Panthers win gives me a lot more confidence than I had certainly going into the game, into last week, that this team can play above its sort of normal level. Because I think that's really what they did against Carolina, as you said. They, you know, this was one of the better, more complete performances where they really sort of forced the team to play a style differently than what they wanted to play. And I think that's really going to be the key. If they can sort of, if the offense can get going early, if they can sort of take Todd Gurley out of the game, you're not going to, probably not going to be able to shut him down completely. But if they can make the Rams a little bit more one-dimensional than they want to be, if they can get some stops on defense, create some turnovers, get some pressure against a pretty good offensive line from the Rams, and for the love of God, please double-team or triple-team Aaron Donald when he's out there on the field. I remember, I think it was 2 years ago when the Rams played the Patriots. I think Belichick actually did triple-team him like every single snap just to be like, because, you know, the hallmark of Belichick is, I'm going to take your best player out of the game, and basically to take Aaron Donald out of the game. I think he still played well. But
that's
like,
what it takes, though. Yeah. I mean, that's what it takes. You're going to have to – he is the Julio Jones of defense, really. If you really want to stop him, you're going to have to dedicate three players to him, and that's it.
Gina, is there anything else you want to talk about these Falcons before we get out of here?
I just want to say congratulations to all the Bulldogs fans. That was a solid win, and hopefully it is a sign that Georgia sports are not going to break our hearts in 2018. So good luck to all of us.
Yeah, yeah. You say that. two very big games next weekend, so we'll see how it goes. But
fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely. Gina, let the people know where they can find you on Twitter and what you got on deck over at SB Nation.
You can find me at Gina Thomas on Twitter. You know, I was on the radio on SB Nation radio last week, and they're like, you don't even tweet about football, you just tweet pictures of your dog. So if you're really into pictures of chihuahuas, like, I've got plenty of them. At SB Nation, we're getting ready for the playoffs. We're covering, unfortunately, firing season, which is always kind of a bummer. But yeah, we have a lot of good stuff coming for the playoffs as far as analysis and, looking forward to that. So you can check that out at sbnation.com.
There you go. All right, Gina, I appreciate you coming on, talking with me, and good luck with your other little endeavor on the podcast or whatever it is. You know,
we gotta keep this beef going, Aaron.
Yeah.
We gotta keep this beef going.
Yeah, we'll keep it going for 2018. Uh-huh. You know, everybody else is, you know, these other websites are starting out podcasts. So, I have to spread my beef out a little bit.
Bless their hearts. Yeah. Bless their hearts. There are really only two Falcons podcasts that I'm aware of.
Yeah, there you go. So if I'm not going hard on your podcast, Gina, it's just because I got to stomp on these other podcasts before they get too big for their britches.
That's fair. Okay. Let me know if you need any help.
Okay. All right, Gina, thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
All right, guys. That's it. You know, a clean game for the Falcons, a pretty solid performance from them. If you want to get in, you know, more of the nitty gritty about this Falcons win over the Panthers, then by all means, send in your questions for the All 22 Q&A tomorrow. You can send those in at Twitter. My Twitter handle is @FalcFans. Just let me know it's podcast related if you send it over to FalcFans. If otherwise, just go ahead and send it over to the show's Twitter handle. That's Locked On Falcons. If you don't like Twitter limits, then by all means, you can hit up Facebook. That's Locked On Falcons is the Facebook page. LockedOnFalcons@mail.com is the email address. You can also post a comment on FalcFans.com or LockedOnFalcons.com. Any questions that I do not get to on tomorrow's episode, I'll try to keep it under 30 minutes. I will then post a leftover mailbag episode later this week, probably on Friday, if I don't procrastinate. And that will be able to answer all the questions I don't get to on tomorrow's podcast pertaining to the film, or really any general questions that you guys want to send me that you just want, you know, answered on the podcast or whatever. I mean, they don't have to be Falcon questions. They can be whatever. We can start this 2018 in very weird ways. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Before I duck out of here, I don't want to forget the Pro Football Focus Edge subscription giveaway that we do on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can go to Locked On Falcons on iTunes, leave a 5-star review, leave your Twitter handle in the review. That automatically enters you into a random drawing to win a Pro Football Focus Edge subscription. That is a $40 value that you can get for free. That includes player grades, position rankings, snap counts, fantasy tools and charts, draft coverage. You especially want that draft coverage as we're gearing up for the offseason. And if you do not win that Pro Football Focus Edge subscription, then by all means, you can still check out the great Pro Football Focus content on the Locked On Podcast Network by checking out Mike Renner every Wednesday on Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson. You can check out Jeff Ratcliffe every Thursday on Locked On Fantasy Football with Vinny Iyer. So that's it, guys. We'll be back tomorrow with Q&A. If you have like Rams specific, like, again, I said this on yesterday's episode, but the plan is probably this week, if I can get it hooked up, we'll have two different Rams previews, on Thursday and Friday to gear up for the game. And, if you have like Rams specific questions, then, you know, maybe I can, if you send those in, I can ask those to, whoever I get to record on this podcast on those days. So, look forward to that, guys. And I don't know if there's anything else I need to say. I'm glad the Falcons, as I said on yesterday's show, I'm glad the Falcons sort of re-energized me, brought some positivity back. I don't think this Rams game is going to be an easy matchup, as Gina stated. Aaron Donald, hail to Pitt. For the four of you that don't know, I am a Pitt alum. I did not go to school with Aaron Donald. I did go to school with Larry Fitzgerald. He owes me. I used to date a girl that tutored him, and so he would not have stayed eligible if not for the things that I did for that girl, as we say, off the field. That's probably going to get me fired. Okay, I'm sorry, guys. I'm being stupid at the end of the show. I have to derail this podcast somehow. It's just like, you know, you just can't get out of your own way. So I have to derail it somehow at the end of the show. So that's it. I don't have anything else to say. You guys stay locked on. Hopefully the Falcons rise up. And of course, You will always be my brothers and sisters in this brotherhood.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, again, you can find those shows and more on the Locked On Podcast Network, wherever. Wow. You can find those shows. Stop it. All right. You can find those shows and more. Oh my God. Wow. This is the greatest outtake of all time. Okay. You can find those shows and more on the Locked On Podcast Network, wherever podcasts can be found. You can find those shows and more on the Locked On Podcast Network, wherever podcasts can be found.